And I've got some things that I want to say that's on my heart that sort of goes along with what Kevin talked about. And, you know, it always happens that way. Most of the time whenever we think it, we get something up and then the guys, they teach it, and it just goes hand in hand. And it ain't like we sat down and compared notes yesterday and under the tree out there on the picnic table and shared everything, and this is what I'm going to say and this is what you say. All that. We don't do that. But sometimes it sounds like that. And so if it does, then it just say the Lord wanted you to hear double today. All right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for thy word that you've given us. Thank you for these people that's here today. They didn't have to come, and we just thank you that they did. And we pray that it'd be worth their while being here. Lord, if there's one here that's never been saved, I don't know the hearts of people. I pray that this will be the day that they'll see their need of a Savior. They'll realize that they're lost and there's nothing that they can do about it. But you did it all for them. And I pray that this will be the day that they'll simply put their trust in you and what you did for them on the cross. And Lord, that they'll just receive you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for the body of Christ that it be edified and lifted up. Lord, there's some that's out and sick today. We pray for them that you just be with them and touch their bodies and bring them back safely. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be done in all that we do, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's sake we pray. Amen. All right, in 2 Timothy, I want you to notice something here in chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And if a man also strive for magistracy, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer because of the gospel now, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and we'll use some more verses in this chapter. But I want you to notice in verse 10 is what I'm after. When Paul says, therefore, and in view of all that he said before this, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they, and I believe he's referring to those of Israel and his own people, that they may also obtain the salvation. Now the salvation is the salvation of all of us. That they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Notice how he separates it. Salvation. And he didn't stop there. He said that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have salvation. And when we talk about salvation, we're talking about being saved from his wrath. That's what being saved is. That's what salvation is. Saved from his wrath. Say, well, I thought it was saved from hell. Well, what do you think hell is? Hell's not a picnic. That's the wrath of Almighty God. That's the eternal judgment destruction from the presence of the Lord. His wrath. Saved from His wrath. Not just salvation. Everybody that's in Christ, if you trusted Christ, you have salvation. But not everybody that has salvation is going to have it with eternal glory. And that's what I want you to see today. And I believe Paul lays out some things that will give you that eternal glory in the future. Now, I realize that we'll have His righteousness. We'll have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. I understand that. But I want you to know, turn back to, first, hang on to Timothy, and come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice in verse 14, he's talking about that judgment that Kevin was talking about of, for the body of Christ. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, would he have the reward. Turn over to Colossians and look at Colossians chapter 3. We're coming back to there now. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now what your work is, you to put your heart in it like you're doing it for the Lord. And that's everything. That's whether you eat, drink, whatever it is, your work, whatever you do. You get up in the morning, you're going for the Lord. All tomorrow, work for the Lord. Do it heartily as to the Lord. And not unto men, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons. God don't ain't gonna respect me more than you, or you more than me. There is no respect to persons. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged, every man, according to his work, of what sort it is. Not so much how much it is, what sort it is. And any man's work abide, he shall receive the reward. You have an inheritance. You have that. Turn to Romans and look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, and if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're Christ. Notice in verse, I'm just going to read verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That Spirit would be the body of Christ. But you're in the Spirit, so if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, that would be the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You're in the Spirit, the body of Christ. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ. Now come on down with me in verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 17, if children, children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If you are in Christ, you have an inheritance. You are an heir of God. You are joint heirs with Christ. You have an inheritance. Now, whether or not that's glorious, the glory of it will be determined by your attitude, by your work here on this earth. Are y'all with me? Your attitude, your mindset plays a very important part in at the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, why do you do what you do? What is your attitude toward the work of the Lord? Do you do it out of necessity? Is it something that's a burden to you? Or are you glad to do it? And you do it for the Lord because of what He's done for you. John says this, we love Him because He first loved us. And that ought to be the criteria of all of us. We love Him out of His love that He had for us. We serve Him because He became a servant and He died in our stead and He bore the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And who wouldn't want to serve Him after they realize just what He did for you? Everybody in this building, not a single person in this building that Christ didn't go to that cross for. And Christ died on that cross. And Christ went to that cross and died for all of your sins. You say, well, I'm not a sinner. Oh, yes, you are. You're a sinner. Your mom and daddy were a sinner. You came from a sinful family. You have a sinful nature about you. You have a nature that wants to do bad. You have a nature that it's the nature in you to do wrong. And you have to train yourself. You have to constrain yourself to do good. We do a lot of things that men call good. And there is things that we do that are good. There's good to help people. It's good to, Paul says that thou shalt fulfill all the law in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For all the law is fulfilled in that. And folks, I want you to love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's good. But that love, that goodness that you do to one another, that you do to each other, that goodness is not what God's looking for. God Almighty is not looking for you for the goodness. He's looking for you out of faith. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is the reward of coming to God? What is the reward of trusting Christ? It's salvation. It's the inheritance. And your work will determine the glory of it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, I use it like this. How bright are you going to shine in eternity? Now, all of us are going to be there the same. We're all going to have some form of light. But how bright is it going to be for the glory of God? Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Notice the glory. I'm just going to go down to verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. There is also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory, there it is, the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now here we go. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. And then he goes on and talks about the resurrection. Verse 41, one star differs from another star in glory. Stars, glory is not a place. Glory is a condition. And so you have the inheritance. You have the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. But Paul didn't stop there when he said he wished for them to have the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. He wanted them to have it with eternal glory. He wanted them to be shining bright. And that's what I want of you. That's my desire of people that come to this assembly. People ask me a lot of times when we begin to talk about church, it wasn't long ago. I talked to a man, him and his wife's got four kids. And I invited him to come to our church, our assembly, told him where we was at. He said, "Oh, I know where it's at. And I said, "We'd be glad to have you." His question was, "What do you offer for the kids?" Well, what's better to offer them? A message of hope, a message of the gospel, whereby they can be saved and have glory and be with the Lord for all eternity, or to come up here to play games? Now, I'm not against doing things for the young people. But folks, if that's our goal, is just to get a crowd in here and not give them nothing that will have an eternal weight on them and change their lives from an old sinner unto a saved member of the body of Christ and have some ways that they can have be glorified in eternity, then what are we doing here anyway? The greatest thing we can do for people, my desire for you, is that everybody that comes is saved, and they'll be saved and have the salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's what I want from you. Now notice how Paul lays this thing out. Number one, I want you to know what he said in verse 5. He said, "If a man also strive for magistracy, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." I think about this as an athlete. I think about that, and I jotted some things down about an athlete. I thought about a boxer. A boxer has to go through all kinds of training, and he goes there. Or what's he talking about? Striving lawfully. Oh, give me. A boxer's told when they come to the ring that when they're to break, when the referee tells them to break, they're to break clean and get away. Suppose a boxer waits till the bell rings, and then after the bell rings, when that man drops his hands down, he hits him. He has broken the rules. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying here, you got to strive lawfully. You got to be submissive to the rules of the game. You've got to be under some kind of authority. Notice what he says also. I think about, turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice again in verse 25. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, every man that striveth for the magistracy is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. that we have a goal, and they're striving, they're training, they're putting their bodies through, they're bringing their bodies under subjection, and they have to abide by it lawfully. They have to abide by the rules. And there are rules that is laid out in this Bible that if you don't abide by them rules, you're not going to get crowned. You're not going to have that incorruptible crown at the judgment seat of Christ. You will suffer loss there. You will have your inheritance. You will have your salvation, but you will not have it as glorious as it could have been had you strived lawfully. Tell a swimmer. I thought about a swimmer. They get ready and they get down and they're up on that platform and I watched them. And sometimes one jumps the gun a little bit. You know what happens? They start all over. One can't jump out of his, what's that bell goes off when they do it, got to abide by the rules. I think about baseball. I think about people play. You got rules of the game. You got an umpire that's managing the game, football, or any kind of athletic, sports, whatever. You got rules that you got to abide by. Racers, you got to stay in your lane. You can't trip people. You can't be a stumbling block. I mean, you got rules. So what's that mean? There are people today that break the rules of, it ain't a game, but Paul likens it like an athlete. He likens it to that was sporting event. But folks, there are people today that set their own rules in studying this Bible. They set their own rules of doctrine in out of this Bible, and they try to force people, and they make their own rules up instead of believing the Word of God. I remember one time a man said, we sat down, we talked, and we went through some things, and he said, I know that by what the Bible says. And I know you can't be proved wrong by the Bible. But I just feel like you're wrong in my heart. Now you know what he should do? He should forget his heart and go with the Bible. Well, the Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Rules. They make their own rules and service. Let me give you some examples. I heard a man preach one time. Back to Pentecost. That was the title of his sermon. They want to go back to the miracles of Pentecost and the power of Pentecost. Back to Pentecost, when Pentecost was a Jewish day, and when the days had fully come, God gave the Holy Spirit. And folks, that was an antitype of what's going to happen in the future. And them signs and them wonders and the tongue talking and the healing and all of the stuff that people get out of the book of Acts there has been done away with. And now we live in the dispensation of grace and we have the complete Word of God. But yet they set the doctrine and the rules and they set their own rules and their own games that they play and they expect you to abide by them instead of the Word of God. I think about the Great Commission. I think about people wanting to follow Matthew 28. Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. Mark 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. and on the thing goes. And that's the commissions. And they say that's our great commission. We're to go in all nations, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then make up these things for the body of Christ. That's not striving lawfully. And they won't get a crown. Many people live the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever noticed preaching today mostly comes out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They want to take the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said, if your eye offend thee, what you to do with it? Pluck it out. You say, well, that's not lit. Oh, yes, it is. He said, to sell that you have, give alms, provide for yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. Where your treasure is, there's your heart also. He said, lay not up yourselves treasures on this earth, where thieves can break through and steal, where moths can eat it, rust can take it away. And everybody in here and all over the world has a checking account, a banking account, IRAs, and 401ks. You've got laid up. People don't follow this Bible when they say they follow this Bible. I'm talking about the very ones that will run to the Sermon on the Mount. They don't believe it anyway. And then they condemn us when we say it wasn't wrote to us. Notice also down in verse number one thing. How are you going to strive lawfully to obtain salvation with eternal glory? Number one, you got to consider what Paul says. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what Paul says. I'm just going to use a couple of these things. Turn back with me and notice in Philippians, just a few pages back, we're coming back to Timothy. In Philippians chapter 4, notice what he said, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what are you to do? You're to do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Notice also, I just want to come back with me to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, notice what he says there in chapter 3. Paul's desire, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Look back in verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, and whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And his desire was to make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery. I want you to understand that dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery of the body of Christ, that God would save people like you and me and put them all in this body along with those that was the body, Paul and all of them together, and make one unit, one new man out of that body, was given to the Apostle Paul, and he has the doctrine for it. And if you're going to follow the Lord, you've got to follow the doctrine that was given to you by the Lord through the Apostle Paul. All the Bible's for me, but it's not all written to me as a member of the body of Christ. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, you know why people don't understand? They won't accept Paul as being their apostle. They won't accept Paul as being the one that God sent unto them as a Gentile. Now Jesus said, if you receive whomsoever I send, you receive me. In fact, notice in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Have faith in it. Folks, you know why the word of God don't... You know what I want you to be? I want everybody in here to be a student of this Bible. You know that's what's missing in the body of Christ today? People are not students of the Bible anymore. They don't study the Word of God in order to understand what God would have them to do, and they don't study the Bible to know how to walk in this dispensation of grace to please the Lord. And that Word is not working through them because they won't be a student of the Word. Now let me ask you something. How many verses, I ain't asking you chapters, how many verses this past week did you read? How many minutes did you spend opening up Paul's epistles and begin to read them? So I had to work. Don't give me that. I worked 40 years. By the way, I told y'all I was retired, didn't I? But not from work. June is absolutely killing me. I didn't know somebody could find so much to do around the house. But anyway, how much time? I mean, folks, this is the greatest book. You ought to at least spend a few minutes every day in Paul's epistles. I'm not talking about reading so many chapters. I'm talking about spending a few minutes sitting down and just reading some of God's Word for you. How is that Word going to work in you? How are you going to have the Holy Spirit to guide you in things and to lead you in this world if you don't know what the Scripture says? Let it work in you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You want glory? Now you ought to not do it because I say to do it. If you're going to do it just because I tell you to do it, that's not going to get you nowhere. Whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You sit down and you read a little bit. Lord, I want to know what you've got to say for me. I want to know your book. I want to know what you've got for me. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet, and there's a lot of them do, now, or spiritual, a lot of people think, I've seen a video, I think it was Joy that sent that, or Robbie, or some sent a video of church service and men throwing their coats and flipping in the baptistry in the water. I mean running and running up there and jumping and flipping, flipped himself and went into the water. And one man standing there took his coat off. This guy's up there singing and he throws his coat and it just flopped right over top of him, just as pure as you breathe. And just going on and on. Folks, that's not spiritual. That's exalting the flesh. And this is going out on video, and I don't care if they get it. Folks, I want you to understand, that's not, you know what spiritual is? Look what he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Folks, you know where God gave commandments? To Paul. There are some rules, there are some things that we must do. Number one, I told you, consider what Paul says. That's one of the rules of engagement. You got to consider Paul. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Number two, look what he says there in verse 8. Remember. Now that word remember is a fascinating word. I should have told you to hang on. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. You know the indication is if you believe in vain, you don't have no reason to believe, you ain't going to stay with Paul. In other words, you're not going to remember nothing about the gospel. You're going to be concerned with other stuff. But if you believe the gospel and you trusted Christ as your Savior, you'll never forget that Christ died for you. And Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Folks, you won't forget Paul's gospel. That's the greatest message that we have today, is the gospel of Christ, and it's the power of God in the salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God in the salvation to everyone that believeth. When did you believe in the gospel of Christ? When did you as a sinner? And then that kind of frame of mind, being lost, knowing that I'm lost and there's nothing I can do about it. I was 19 years old when I came to that place. Just miserable. Miserable in church. Miserable when I'd hear people give their testimony. It bothered me. Because I didn't have it. I was putting on a show. And that night, I seen myself as lost. I'm lost. My daddy was a deacon. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. I mean, I went to church 3 times a week. Went to revivals every night when they'd have them. I mean, it was church, church, church. Have the preachers over, and every time you'd have them, that's the kind of home I grew up in. When I was 16 years old, walked the aisle. I've been baptized 5 times. I've been in the baptistry, ponds, creeks, and rivers. Every time they'd have an altar card, run down there, and I'd say, yeah, the Lord save me. And when I was 16, I was standing back there, and a preacher come back there, and he pulled him on my arm, and I'll never forget. He said, if you died right now, what would happen? I said, I'd go to hell. Pulled him on me, tugging me. That pulled me from in the aisle. Looked up there and seen my mama looking at me. So I run down there because I didn't want to face her. Got down on my knees. People around me, they thought they'd won the prize. And they were crying, "Lord, save me," all this. But I didn't get saved. Why? I wasn't going to get saved. I was going to get them off my back. Got up and felt better because I did what they wanted me to do. Pleased with me. That's the flesh. I wanted to please them. So I stood up and said, "I'm saved." Miserable. Somebody give their testimony about doubting their salvation and everything. So I was miserable and went that way until that night. And that night I said, "I'm lost." And words never had come out of my mouth. But that night I come to the end of myself. I was tired. I stood in my backyard at the clothesline and I said, "If this is Christianity, the hell with it. I have nothing to do with it." Miserable. Tore up inside all the time, thinking about being lost, thinking about going to hell, thinking about being separated. And I got so sick of it. And that night, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. If you don't save me, I'm just going to go to hell." And I remember saying, "Lord, I know you died for me." And when I said that, boom, salvation came. Oh, I knew the gospel. I knew the facts of the gospel. I had it memorized. I knew that he died. I could tell you them things, but it was not the gospel till it became my gospel. And I trusted him. I called upon him. I appealed to him. Whatever you want to say, I believed him. And he saved me that night. And what peace came. How about you? Paul said, "Remember my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound." He was locked up because of this gospel. He's preaching a message that is hope. It's the hope for people, humanity. It's the only message that this world needs today. They don't need to know how to be a better me or you, or they don't need to know how to prosper. They need to know that they're sinners and Jesus Christ is the Savior. And that he done all the work for them. Then he says there, come on down with me. What else shall we do? Look what he says there in verse, the glory. Verse 11, "It is faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Are you dead with him? You know where that's at? How shall we that are continue in sin? Therein, how shall we that are dead continue in sin? That day in A.D. 33, when Jesus Christ was nailed between two thieves on that day, there he was numbered with the transgressors. There that day he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There as he's on that cross naked, being humiliated, taking your shame. He's there on that cross and they're mocking him and they're making fun of him. "If thou be the Son of God, come down and save thyself and we'll believe." Psalmist David says the bulls of Bashan was around about him. The demoniac forces thought they'd won the battle. There's the King of Kings right there. We show you, crucify him, crucify him. And they nailed him to the cross. And he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. God standing back and turned his back. It's amazing to me. There is God's Son. And he turns them over to the Gentiles, to that Roman government. And they take him out there and they shamefully entreat him. And they beat him and they spit in his face and they pluck his beard out and they mock him and strip him down naked. No stitch, not even a stitch of clothes on him. And make fun of him and persecute him and put a crown of thorns on his head. And then they take him out there and nail him to a cross. And God does not do anything. I think about, can you imagine Michael? The archangel and the angel standing around, and there the enemies is around the foot of the cross. There Satan, and there they're mocking the Son of God. And why, he said at one time, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. One angel in the Old Testament wiped out 185,000 Assyrians. What could a legion do? And he said, I could call 12 legions. They would have obliterated the world. They would have destroyed everything. Wiped the slate clean. But had they did that, there wouldn't have been no hope for you and me. There he goes to that cross. And there he dies. If we suffer, if we be dead with him, we also shall live with him. Well, there's where you died. Right there. You trust Christ, you save him, you died. Look in Galatians. My time is about gone. Look in Galatians. Of course, it is gone. Galatians. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law. In other words, the law put me to death. The law put me to death, I become dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I died, the law said I must die. The wages of sin, the payment of sin is death. The law put Jesus Christ to death. He died my death. I was in Christ. I died with him. God recognized me. He imputed, he put it to my account, the death of his Son, as though I died. And he was buried, so I was buried. And when he arose the third day, bless your heart, I came up too. And I'm seated with him in heavenly places. And back in the passage now. What a message, what a gospel, what a message to have. But look what he says also. So what am I to do? Number one, we're to consider. We're to remember where the power is. What got us that salvation? We died. We were there. Verse, we suffered. We shall also reign with him. Verse 12, if we deny him, he will also deny us of that raiment. There's the glory. If we believe not, quit believing, never go open your Bible, never believe anymore. Yet he abideth faithful. Why? He cannot deny himself. Now you've got to think about that. Do you know what Ephesians says? We're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Bone of His bone? Folks, this is a spiritual body. It's the body of Christ. It's the one new man, and it's keeping the wrath of God over this world. Then he goes on. Come down to verse 15. Study. There's the next thing. So I'm to remember, I'm to consider what Paul says. Remember the gospel is the power of God to have that glory. And I'm to suffer with him over that gospel. And I'm to study to show myself approved unto God. And then I want you to see something else where he says, look in verse 15 and 16 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, what am I to do? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The next thing I'm to shun, all of this babbling and stuff that this promotes ungodliness. Their word will eat a deal of canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Folks, there's people out there today that's preaching error for truth, and they're wrong. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. They're not even studying their Bible. They're not considering Paul. They're not remembering the gospel of the power of God. And you're to shun that crowd. So, well, that's being mean. No, that's just being what the Bible says. Shun. And then the last thing, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. There's the glory. Fit for the master's use. You know, Paul said, he said to come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord. You know, you're sanctified, you're separated to the Lord. In the body of Christ, you're to shun profane and babblings and all of this stuff you hear today, and it's supposed to be preaching. And it's doctrines, it's their own rules and their own traditions of men. You're to shun it. How do you know what to shun? Study. Rightly divide the word of truth. Listen to me. If it doesn't fit Pauline truth, it's not for you or to you. Now, it could be for you, but it's not to you. Always go by that. All right, shake hands with one another and you're at liberty to go.